So I've been thinking about something, and this thing I've been thinking about is not something that is new. It's something I've thought about a bunch of times, but you know what? Now that I got a podcast, I might as well share it. So, and I hope this don't come off as like super weird. Like I don't want people to hear this. I mean, I guess eventually hear it and be like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, I just, I hope it'll, you know, come off like that. But fuck it. Here goes nothing. Jeez, how do I even, I don't know. Let's just say it how I'm thinking about it. I love hip hop music. I've always loved hip hop music in any form of hip hop music. So, you know, forget all the technical shit. Meaning, doesn't matter if it come from the South, the North, East, West. That doesn't matter. The genre, the type of rap, hip hop, trap, whatever the fuck. None of that matters. Just, you know, put that part of it out of your mind. Just hip hop in general. Just all of it. One thing about hip hop that is grounded in all the forms of hip hop is the fact that it comes from pain. Hip hop comes from pain. It was born from pain. I mean, not in the very beginning. You know, in the beginning, it was just partying and dancing. But even with the partying and the dancing, that was also a result of pain. Meaning, if you go back to like the older days, like at least I would say, what, like the late 60s, early 70s, I believe, you know, hip hop started then. If I'm wrong, fuck it. I think I'm right though, somewhere around there. You know, back then, black people were not allowed to play instruments. We weren't allowed to play instruments, so we didn't, you know, have any, you know, piano playing skills and all of that type stuff, and flute and trumpet. And I mean, there were people who could do it, but pretty much the masses, we weren't allowed to, you know, play instruments. So out of that came the dancing and the breakdancing and the turntables. Without going into the complete breakdown of the history, that's where turntables became our instrument. Point being, like I said, hip hop comes from pain. And I guess my question is, well, I don't guess. My question is, would we even have hip hop if it wasn't for oppression? Like, without oppression, where would hip hop be? Where would our culture be? Where would any of this be? The way we dress, the way, you know, we talk, the way we think. The fact that you can put us in any shitty situation and we'll find sunshine in it. Where would that be if not for oppression? So I guess what I'm saying is, without white people doing what they've done to us in this country, would there even be hip hop? Would it even exist? If we came to this country and were treated 100% fair, no slavery, no oppression, no, you know, dehumanization, if that's even a word, of black people. We're not treated like animals. We're actually treated like human beings. Would hip hop even exist? Like, it's our favorite music. It's the number one thing that we love to listen to. And in 2019, it's pretty much the most popular genre of music in the world. Where would that be without oppression? If we never had to struggle, there would be no hip hop, I don't think. I just don't think it'll exist. we all love to hear about, you know, the come up stories, you know, the pain and overcoming that pain and making it to the top. Well, if we were never at the bottom, we would never have to make it to the top, which means we probably wouldn't have hip hop. Now, I'm not saying that we should thank white people for fucking us over in this country because, you know, out of that, we created hip hop. But I am saying, what if we never were oppressed? Then there will be no reason. What if we never were, like, go back to what I said in the beginning. What if black people could play, you know, instruments and, no, the turntables never were created. We're just spinning records. And what I mean by that is we're making instruments, making, I guess, the jazz songs or whatever they were doing back then and just creating records. Like, no one would have ever took a record and made the record an instrument if it wasn't for oppression, which led to hip hop. I don't know. It's just something I think, you know, is worth thinking about. Like, I definitely don't agree with the fact that this country has taken a single race of people and enslaved them and treated them like shit and still treats them like shit, even though everybody else then got their peace. Everyone else then got their land. Everyone else then got their rights. We're the only ones who haven't. But out of that came hip hop, man. And I love hip hop. And all of us black people love hip hop. There ain't too many black people who don't like hip hop. Like I said, in any form of it. With T.I. be, you know, leading the new revolutionary movement, if it weren't for oppression, which led to hip hop, which led to his stardom, which led to his success. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's something worth thinking about. As much as we can't stand what's happened to us in this country, it's made us better, stronger, and we're able to deal with shit. Whereas you put any of these other people in these, you know, these positions, they weren't even last a day. If you took the average, you know, white family and put them in, you know, while, like, I live in Georgia, you put them in the projects here, or you put them on like Candler Road, Gresham Road, Columbia Drive, all those, excuse me, all those areas, they wouldn't last a day. They wouldn't even last an hour. Like, they would be freaking out. Like, what's funny is, like, at my job, like, sometimes I hear them talking about, like, what they say, urban areas and how scared they were while they were out there delivering. And I just laugh because, you know, when they go home, it takes them an hour to get home because they live in freaking Sandy Springs and Brookhaven and all them uppity ass places. So when they get to an urban area and they got to do work, it's like they're afraid for their lives. And it's not like black people aren't afraid for their lives when we're there, but we're just used to fending for ourselves. So we're not as afraid. You know, I told y'all already, I came from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I'm always on my P's and Q's when it comes to, you know, watching out for shit and knowing what to look for and knowing who the scam nigga is and just knowing all of that shit. Like, just knowing what to, you know, look for. Like, I'm on that shit. Like, I know how to watch out for myself. But these people who grow up in these areas where they never have to look over their shoulder, they're vulnerable as fuck because they don't know what to look for. So, I don't know. I don't know, just something I thought was interesting. Eventually, you know, if I get enough listeners, maybe you guys can give me some feedback on this. But right now, I'm just spitballing, you know, just something to think about. You know, all of our influential, you know, culture, you know, movers, or I guess changers or whatever. All the influential people in our culture would not be here if it weren't for hip hop, but hip hop wouldn't be here if it weren't for oppression. I don't know, something to think about. that was really, that was all that was on my mind. But you definitely can't call a podcast if it only lasts 10 minutes. Oh, boy. Oh, man. This shit is so crazy. I still can't believe I'm doing this, though. I wonder where this is going to go. Anyway, on the subject of black people, we need to pick a fucking side. Listen, the 4th, as I'm recording this, is July 5th, 2019. Yesterday was the 4th. It's like on one half, you got fuck the 4th, fuck 4th of July, fuck Independence Day, blah, 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 stay woke, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, you got motherfuckers barbecuing and shooting off fireworks even today. You still got niggas shooting off fireworks. I mean, like what the fuck? Are we doing this or are we, like, saying fuck it? Like, which one? Are we proud to be an American or is it fuck America? Because I think we need to pick a side. Now, I know people will say, like, oh, it's just a day to be off and we're just barbecuing and blah, blah, blah. Well, when I was growing up, my dad barbecued all the time. He never waited for the fucking 4th. As a matter of fact, a lot of times he barbecued in the fucking winter. Now, that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. Our dad back in Philadelphia would put up the grill in the snow. Didn't matter. My dad wanted barbecue. He fucking made barbecue. It didn't matter that it was cold or it was sunny or none of that matter. He wanted barbecue. He grilled. No exaggeration. Literally in the snow, he would put a grill out and grill. So, like, we need to figure out what we're going to do. Because we can't keep shouting, fuck the 4th, but at the same time, be festive when the 4th comes around. And that's what a lot of stuff. Like, one minute is I'm Gucci down, then the next minute is fuck Gucci. Like, we need to figure out what side are we on? Like, what are we going to do? Like, are we for the country or against it? Do we celebrate the festivities or we just live our lives like we've been doing? Me, I didn't do shit yesterday. I stayed in my goddamn house and I laid in the bed and played my Nintendo Switch. That's all I did. I got off work. I ain't going to do nothing. And I was supposed to go to my sister's house or my mom and dad's house because I think they were grilling or some shit. But I didn't want to do shit, so I stayed in the fucking house. But, yeah, like, we need to fucking pick a side. We need to figure out what side of this America are we on. Are we black America or are we white America? Or are we just white America when it's convenient for us? Like, getting a day off and being patriotic. That shit kind of annoys me about us. Because sometimes I feel like every time I start to believe that we're going to walk this black power road, it's like as soon as a white man throw a bone, we walk the other way. I mean, at least that's just what it looks like to me. I guess that's why I just stay in my little corner of the world and I just mind my fucking business. Because I feel like I want to be part of the revolution. I want to be a part of the movement. But at the same time, I think the movement is bullshit. Not to mention, I feel like we do too much asking and not enough demanding. Like, this is going to be kind of going off the rails a little bit. But fuck it. Let's jump into it. Because this is something else I think need to be said about our people and about this country. We need to stop asking white people for shit. I'll say it again. We need to stop asking white people for shit. Stop asking for rights. Stop asking for, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Justice. There's only one thing we can do in this country as black people to get where we want to go. Fight. Asking, is it going to get it? I understand we have some people in, you know, positions of not even power, I guess influence, and they think they can talk their way into getting us justice. I hope y'all don't hear those fireworks, because I can hear them in my headphones. Anyway, we got to stop thinking that we can talk our way into justice and talk our way and make peaceful solutions when dealing with these people. Like, I don't think that's going to work. Because as long as we're asking, to me, we're being docile. And that's not where we come from. We are kings. We are leaders. We are soldiers. At least that's how we were. I don't know about now, but I don't really see the soldier in any of us anymore. Most of the soldiers get silenced. And because of that, we ask for justice, and we ask for rights, and we ask to be treated like human beings, but we should demand it. Now, I know this is a different, you know, time. This ain't like when Malcolm X and Dr. King was running things. We have new leaders, and they're trying to negotiate. And I just think that's not going to fucking work. I feel like as long as we're asking white people nicely to give us what we want, they're going to keep just patting us on the head and throwing us crumbs. Now, I know T.I. and Nipsey and Jay-Z and all the other influential black men and women also are trying to find seats in government, find seats in Senate, find seats in representatives, the House of Representatives, find seats in, you know, different parts of this white corporate, you know, structure, and try to get our people, you know, where we need to be. I just don't think that's going to work. We gotta fight, and what I mean by fight, I mean literally fight. We gotta fight for what we want, literally, like. Fist, guns, violence. And I feel that way because that's how this country was established. We're still asking for, you know, what's that word? Reparations. Black people, let me tell y'all something. They're not going to fucking give us that. Okay? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for one reason. It's literally one reason. I honestly believe, like truly believe, that white people white people believe. Two different meanings. Way, way deeper than thinking when you believe something. I think white people believe that we actually are animals. Like not people. Not human. Let me say that again. I think that white people believe, truly believe, that we are not people. That we are actual animals. Like we are the equivalent of a horse. And human rights are for humans. I truly believe they don't think we are human. So when you, a black person, asks for humanity, they look at you like, what do you mean? You're an animal. You're not a human. Like I think they believe this with all my heart. I believe they think this. Well, I actually flipped that. I think they believe this. Cause I don't really know, but when that Constitution was written and it said we the people, they meant like no, us. Like we the people, white people, not you. You're an animal, you're savage. Like, I believe they really think that about us, and that's why we can never ask for any kind of humanity, because humanity is for humans. They don't see us as humans. We are the equivalent of an animal to them, like a dog. Prime example. You're walking down the street and you see a dog off a leash walking towards you. Naturally, you're going to either do two things. You're going to A, walk across the street, or B, walk past it, but you're going to feel very nervous as you're walking past it. What do white people do when they see a black person walking towards them? They either walk across the street or nervously pass us. Give another example. When we came to this country, there were two tools that they used to get the work done. One of them was horses. The other, black people. Horses were their transportation, and sometimes they hauled stuff. Black people weren't their transportation, but we hauled stuff. We were like tools to them. Like the way you could buy a horse, you could buy a nigga. Because that's what you do. We're just a tool. And animals back then were the tools. So it was horses and black people. That's what built this country. Horses and black people, pretty much. They treat us like pets, man. Like, you got animals in the circus against their will, locked in cages. And when it's time for them to do some tricks, they let them out to do some tricks. Equivalent to the zoo as well. What do they do with black people? They lock us up in a corner until it's time to throw a ball or run a pass or dance or rap or sing or do gymnastics or wear a skirt. Like they put them giant tutus on them elephants at the circus. They treat us like animals because to them, we are animals. Like I said, can't talk about humanity to white people until they understand we are humans. That's like a dog trying to tell you he wants to move into your house and sleep in your bed. Now, I know some weird ass white people do that, but I mean, like, or I guess a better example is a dog walks into your office and asks for a job. Like your dog wants to answer the phones, and you're like, you're an animal. Like, why would I hire an animal? Why think it's so hard for us to get a job? Same thing. With all that being said, like I tried to hope this makes sense, but that's why I appreciate what our, you know, I guess leaders of our black culture is trying to do. But until white people understand that we are human and not animals, you can't talk to them. Just can't talk to them. So I feel like we got to do what animals do. Even though I know we're not animals, I feel like we got to bark. We got to bite the hand that's feeding us. I know people say don't bite the hand that's feeding you, but if this fucking trainer keeps treating me like a piece of shit, I'm going to rip his fucking arm off. And I feel like that's where we are in history. We're letting the dog trainer feed us little treats just to keep us at bay. But it's time we rip his fucking arm off. And I feel like that's the only way we can really change the world. Change America, I mean. We're not going to do it by asking. It's just not going to work. We're not going to do it by getting in Congress and getting more judges and you know, having interviews and asking them about reparations, that's not going to do anything. Instead of asking, can we get our human rights? Can we get justice? We got to say, give me fucking justice or I'm going to rip your fucking arm off. Like, that's how we got to do it. It's not going to work any other way. How much can we as a culture be pushed into the corner before we finally bite? I know I sound crazy comparing us to vicious animals right now, but that's the only way they see it. So that's the only way we can respond. I'm sure none of that made sense. But I think if you listen to it a few more times or run it back, you'll kind of get what I'm saying. But hey, what do I know? Anyway, that's it. This was, I think, a little shorter than the first one. But hey, like I said, this shit just comes to my mind and I just get on a mic and I just say it. And I just hope it makes sense. But if it doesn't, hey, what did you expect? This is the SP, Soliloquy Podcast. Peace out.